you want to take a moment and dial that up or look that up. I used to say, look, take your Bibles and look up Psalm 13. I don't know. I must be old school because everyone pulls out their smartphones and I'm thinking they're checking their stocks and bonds, but no, they're looking up their passage. So hopefully you have your coffee and donuts and ready to settle in. I'm going to borrow from Luke's PowerPoint, so if you were not here last week, and it was new, but if you were here last week, it'll be a refresher. So, okay. Suffering and lament. I don't have to probably ask you to think of an example of times you're suffering or lament. It probably comes quite naturally. You probably live with it. Last night, I dreamed about my father who passed away 21 years ago, and I dreamed about him last night. So some things just stay with you and do not go away. And what we want to do is investigate the whole topic of lamenting and suffering, and where is God in all of this? Well, we would like to begin, as usual, with a video. We're featuring somebody that you know. And so when Chris is ready, we'll go ahead and key that up and listen for some of the steps of lament and notice some of the questions that are asked. And then we'll get into our lesson. So, Chris, whenever you're ready, go ahead and key that up.
I'm Diana Wilson. Well, I would say as a younger child, separation from my biological father was pretty painful. I don't remember ever physically living with him in the same home, but always striving as a child to have a close relationship with him. When I was 8, my mom remarried and I had a stepdad and came into our lives, and super fun guy. We loved him, he loved us, and that created in me some guilt for my real dad, and I wanted to make sure I was very loyal to my real dad. So we still would spend time with my dad, we'd visit with him, I would get to hang out with him, but I just wanted to make sure that I struggled with my loyalties. And we moved around a lot, and I would say that was kind of hard on me as a child just because I didn't feel like I had established roots. If I could think about as being an adult, my biological dad was diagnosed with cancer when I was about 26 or 27, and he died a year later, and within a week of his death, my stepdad left my mom. And that, even though I was an adult, that was still very devastating. He was gone out of our life for about 20 years because I think he thought if he could leave our home, he could leave the cancer behind. Came back 20 years later, knowing that we would take care of him, and we did. We had 2 years to reconnect. A lot of healing took place. We even helped him plan his own funeral and took care of his needs in his dying days. And so it turned out to be a blessing, even though it was very much painful. Have a handicapped sister and a disabled sister who has no speech. And growing up with her, people might say, well, you suffered, but she suffered. Came along beside her. We shared bedrooms, and she would have seizures during the middle of the night. And I remember that being very hard as a young child, because we'd get woke up by these seizures, and we'd have to go to the hospital. And then I also remember always wanting to protect her. Like, we'd be at the store, at a restaurant, and there'd be people staring or gawking, and I would make sure I stood between them and her, because it would just sadden me that they'd be looking at her. And the last 4.5 years, I was diagnosed with psoriatic and rheumatoid arthritis, and that's been a little bit of a struggle. Just, I had to retire because I just didn't have the strength or the energy to work anymore. And I still have a lot of fatigue and a lot of, I have some pain, discomfort, lack of energy, but lack of mobility. But I'm on good medicine, I have good doctors, so it is what it is, and I won't get better. It will get worse, and it has progressed, but I still am hopeful. Just that I know that he's working everything out for my good and for his glory. I just know that in all things, not some of it, but in all things, he's working his will in my life. Even though he didn't originally plan this, he's still orchestrating. He's still working it out. Originally, he had perfection in mind, but we're the ones that messed up, and this is a result of us, not of him. And so he's faithful. I'm sure there's times I've been that way with my own sister, like, why, Lord, why? I would love it for her to be able to talk, but then it just makes me think, heaven, oh my goodness, how wonderful a place that's going to be. And we'll look back on this earth and we'll think, we won't even look back, but if we could, we wouldn't think it was a tragedy, those short years. That's not what's seen, but look at the things that are unseen. Just that's in 2 Corinthians, I don't have it memorized, but just the concept of keeping our eyes fixed on him. These light and momentary afflictions they're nothing compared to the eternal glory that we're going to have when we reach heaven. So I would say those are things that I really cling to and know. It's hard for me to say what those prayers were. Just crying out to God, asking him to help me better, be a better sister. You know, there's always room for improvement. There's always room to make things better. But at the same time, as Dale says, you can't always fix it. And so you have to back off and realize, okay, I have to let God fix this. 5 years ago this spring, I had some severe pain. And it was always happening in the middle of the night. And it was in my hand, I was in there on fire, and I remember running to the freezer and grabbing a grab of peas and going downstairs and just holding it in my hand and raising my hand up, and then I could get some relief from the searing pain. And I just remember thanking Jesus for what he did on that cross for me. It's like, oh my gosh, this is nothing compared to what he did for me. And the pain was unreal. But anyway, I just remember crying out to him and just thanking him. And so whatever pain I'm going through, it is nothing compared to what he has done for me. And so I think that's where my hope is. That's where my joy is, evidently, because I'm thankful for what he has done for me. When I have pain, I first thing I'll do is just, Lord, create within me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. There's something in my heart that needs to be purified. And maybe the pain doesn't go away, but the heart has been cleansed. And I just feel like I think my prayers are more like that. And what is it you want me to learn from here? What is it you want me to do from here? There's a reason in this. So I would say those are more my prayers. Just show me your way. I wondered sometimes through life if I looked at my Heavenly Father, if I looked at my biological father, like I was always trying to strive to have a relationship with him. And I don't have to strive. He has come to me. And my dad was not a cold-hearted person. I don't want to say that. He was very caring and giving, but he kind of had to squelch emotions in order to survive the separation himself. And yet God gave us his son. He didn't squelch any emotions. And so it's helped me better understand the love of a father, of a heavenly father. He loves me. Yeah, and he will never leave me, never desert me. He's always there. I think it's slow things over time. Life is a life of sanctification. I think he's just continuing to remind me, I'm sanctifying you. I'm getting rid of those old dead branches that aren't doing anything. They're God. They're not of any value. Not to live my life in fear, but to live it in faith, and just faith in the Lord. Fear of the Lord and not fear of man or fear of circumstances or fear of what's going to happen. Just that daily I would be willing to see, okay, Lord, what is it you want me to do? You're the one in control, not me. Because in a classroom setting, you have to be the one in charge. You have to be the one in control, or it's just going to be kind of mayhem. And so you live your life so much that way that I think I kind of thought I was in control of everything else, and I wasn't. Just thought I was. So just to daily submit and to daily realize it's not my time, it's his. It's not my agenda, but it's his, and what is it he wants me to do? So I just daily ask, what is it you want me to do today that would bring encouragement or joy or help somebody else? Well, I've had just a lot of godly women that have encouraged me along the way, you know, and I'm very thankful for them here at Crestview. You know, I've had people come to my home and they've cleaned when I was unable to do that. They've prepared meals, or just phone calls or texts saying, "I'm praying for you." Those are things that have been real helpful. Or just simply asking, "How are you doing? How's life?" Come along beside people who I feel like are suffering, and I'll do what I just said they've done for me. You know, I'll call them or text them or send a card or see if I can come visit them and bring them some baked goods or something. I have dear friends that will walk with or bike with, and they'll ask me, and I feel like that's the time for me to go ahead and spill my guts if I need to. In a big setting, if they ask me how you're doing, I'm doing okay. You know, I feel like I can be honest, but I don't feel like I have to go into great detail. And then I think there's times for the gut-wrenching, "This is how I'm really doing." Oh no, I'm not always joyful. You can ask Dale that, but because I'm not. But when the Lord gets a hold of me, then I realize, yes, Father, thank you. And how much what you've done for me, thank you. Just that God is, he's very sufficient in every aspect of our life. And he just desires that we realize that we just continue to walk by faith and not by sight, and just continue to look to him and trust in him. One thing that has really the last several years is just the concept of singing praises to his name, and just how that helps tremendously, whether it's an emotional sadness you have or a physical pain that you have. It's just that really is uplifting.
So thank you, Diana, for your candidness and your willingness to share with us. Hope that struck a nerve with all of us. And I think it'd be appropriate if we just spend a moment in prayer and thank God for who he is and how he's made us and what he's taking us through. Father, thank you so much for your relationship with us. You've not abandoned us or forsaken us. At times it feels that way, but Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And Father, we have the ability not to see the future, not to see what you're doing, not to see your involvement in our lives. So Father, open our eyes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as Diana quoted. So Father, might we fear you, might we have a heart of wisdom that we might know how to properly live life, how to properly approach you, how to properly please you. So Father, we look forward to discussing this more deeply, more thoroughly. Give us understanding. Search our hearts. All of us here have a measure of lament, grief, suffering. So Father, you know that very well. So help us come to grips with any areas that might hinder our relationship with you. The goal is to draw close to you as you have already drawn close to us. So help us in that, Father, and we commit our time here to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead with the slideshow, and basically what that is just a review of what Luke started us with last week. So just some important things here that I think we might want to keep in mind, and Chris, if you just want to just run through there. This is our outline. Last week, Luke took us through an understanding of the whole concept of lament, the topic of lament. Today we're going to practice lament. We're going to look at a psalm, Psalm 13. Next week we're going to look at the Book of Lamentations, try to glean some good, helpful information regarding what God is doing. Then Luke will take over on week 4 with the hope of lament, and then Luke will take lesson 5, which is a community of lamenters. So in our video, we saw how Diana drew strength from one another, from the body of Christ, and from believers. And then we'll look at what our we already looked at what our responses have been to suffering. The temptation is to just run away from God, to avoid God. The next one is just deny that things are happening in our lives. A third response is to just live in despair. And that's our mode of operation, just despair. So these are some typical responses. Maybe you've responded in all three ways, and that is something that we need to be challenged. Here's a couple quotes that Luke pulled, and I like this one here. So it's not part of the Christian faith to be able to explain what's happening and why. As you read through scriptures or read through Psalms, you read through Job, that's the main question that he's asking. What is going on here, and why is this happening to me? So if you feel like you're battling some of these, you're not alone. This is something that mankind faces. Next, we have Luther. He has a quote as he deals with the whole issue of suffering. Luther suffered for his faith. In short, he has mercy only on those who are wretched. His premise was that life is going to be characterized by suffering and grief and pain and lament. And so, but God shows mercy to us in those times. Let's define lament again. Lament is the honest cry of a hurting heart, wrestling with the paradox or the tension of pain and the promise of God's sovereign goodness. So, first of all, this is a time when we need to be honest. Take off our masks, take off our hypocrisy. When we're lamenting, that's very real. And so I think you heard Diana mention the fact that she had to come to grips with just being honest with the Lord. And that is a real key when it comes to lament. Yes, our hearts are hurting. They're painful. It does not go away. And then you have what you know in your head and then what you have in your heart. You have the knowledge that God is in control. He's on his throne. And the promises, there's promises galore in the Bible, and yet you struggle with the fact that, why am I in pain? Why is this going on? What is he doing in my heart? So this is going to be that tension that you'll constantly face. And I don't have to tell you that. So many of you know that so well. Okay? The need for lament. Why do we need to lament? We looked about despair and denial and that sort of thing. Here are some things that help us. We need to learn how to lament properly. It helps us grow. It helps us develop, helps us mature. It's a way that we can talk to God. God is so near to us and longs to be gracious to us, to hear from us. And so this is language that we can use, and we'll talk about some of the factors in that in a moment. Life is messy. Our sinful natures are messy. The world is messy. This is a way that we can relate to God and connect with God. God calls us his children. You know, children are kind of awkward, kind of messy, kind of, you know, that sort of thing. We're his children. Don't apologize for being messy before God, okay? It happens. God, why are you doing this? And we stumble around, but it's an opportunity, and he gives us the freedom and the space to be messy. We are wired with feelings. I think you all know that. It's part of our makeup. And so this is an opportunity to direct, to channel those feelings. And it's a pathway to praise. Believe it or not, God wants us to praise him in the midst of pain and grief and so forth. Hard to do, easier said than done, but he wants us, that's the goal, for us to praise him. Okay, benefits of a good lament. I won't go over each one of those, but you can see that lament is valuable in that it helps us through the grief and helps us to properly grieve. And so, again, those are some benefits of a good lament. And I want to end with how to lament. Okay, so this week and next week, we're going to actually practice lamenting. We'll use Psalm 13 as our guide this morning. And then when we're finished with that, we want to have some time of prayer. And this is some things that we want to pray through. So first of all, turning to God. You probably heard Diana, instead of ignoring God, running away from God, she turned to God. She called upon him. Bring your complaint. We'll talk about that also in terms of you see in the Psalms, you see in Lamentations, you see in Job, him complaining. And so it is fair game to complain before God. He's got broad shoulders. He can take it, okay? He wants to hear from you. We're going to talk about asking boldly. So the call here now is to, instead of just crawling in a little hole, to call upon God and call upon him boldly, because so often we have bold requests. And then finally, the determination, the choice to trust him or to abandon him and go your own way. He calls upon us to trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3. So, let's turn to, I'm going to have Chris leave this up here, and thank you, Chris, for your help this morning. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 13, and I'm going to give you all a chance to give some feedback. And so Psalm 13 is where we want to focus on now. We're going to practice this a bit, okay? There are several psalms that we can use. And I also, while you're turning there, want to point out to you that we are using this book right here, Dark Clouds and Deep Mercy, as a guide. We're using his outline. And one of the many features of this is he has a number of psalms that he lists that are lament psalms. And so we consider that just a great resource. Psalm 13, I would invite us to read this together. I need a volunteer. I'm going to need a lot of volunteers this morning. Okay, so I feel like I've done most of my work now. Now it's your turn to provide some feedback. Psalm 13, I need a volunteer to read that, and then I can have some questions, and I'm going to ask people to volunteer an answer. But who would be willing to read nice and loud Psalm 13? I saw a hand from Robin. So, Robin, what version do you have?
ESV.
ESV. So, ESV, Psalm 13, go right ahead when you're ready. Thank you, Robin. So I'd like us to go through these steps considering Psalm 13. Our first one is turn to God. How can you tell from Psalm 13, written by David, that David has turned to the Lord? What are some clues from this passage that you know that David has turned to the Lord? Just shout them out. He calls the Lord by name. Over here?
I said the same thing. He's speaking directly to the Lord.
He's speaking directly to the Lord. He's not being silent. He's speaking directly to the Lord. Okay? How hard is that? How hard is that when you've experienced an area of grief, pain, sorrow, lament? How hard is it to turn to the Lord? On a scale of 1 to 10.
Well, that first phrase, he comes across, "How long, O Lord?"
That's right.
This is not the first time.
That's right. So it's an area of deep concern, you know. He's pondering. He's trying to come to grips with what's going on here. But he does turn to the Lord. That is the key here. He doesn't go his own way. He doesn't look to his own insight. He turns to the Lord. And that is the first step. The temptation is to just be quiet, despair. What are some other temptations? What's the opposite of turning to the Lord look like? Has anyone ever received the silent treatment or given the silent treatment? Okay. That might be a main way that would be the opposite of turning to the Lord. Giving God the silent treatment. Just despairing, ignoring, not turning to the Lord. Okay. Let's look at our second step. Along with turning to God, bring your complaint. All right. Harold touched on this. What is the complaint here in Psalm 13? God is not making his presence known to him. It's as almost as like God is giving David the silent treatment, isn't it? Okay. Right. Instead of God earning the victory, David being victorious, it seems like the enemies are the ones prevailing here. You'll notice I count three times where he says, "How long? How long? Why am I having to wait here? Why don't you do something? Why don't you intervene? You're powerful. Why don't you do something here?" So, how many of you have prayed this prayer? How long, Lord, is this going to last? How long do I have to endure this? It's okay. What is the opposite of, I had to ask Luke this week because I wasn't real sure. What is the opposite of complaining? Godly complaining. This is basically godly complaining. You're complaining to God. You're coming to grips with what's going on. You're being honest and candid. What would be the opposite of godly complaining? Ooh, okay. Accusing God of his fault, or accusing God of falling short, or accusing God of not being God in control. Exactly. Okay. What did the children in the wilderness do? Was that godly complaining? I see some head shaking. that was grumbling, wasn't it? God, why have you abandoned us? We would rather go back to Egypt. What are you thinking? You know, leave us alone, let us go back. That kind of lends itself into grumbling, okay? And this is not exactly grumbling. This is bringing your complaint, though. There's a slight difference, okay? It's as if you are kind of involving God in the process, and you're not leaving him behind. You're not abandoning him. Because the opposite of complaining would be like the denial, and there's nothing wrong with being angry, but being angry toward God, we want to limit ourselves to doing that. It's more a matter of, I don't understand. I find myself being impatient, but And I'm going to bring my complaint to you, and please hear me out, and because I don't know what to do here. Then thirdly, so along with approaching God and bringing your complaint, now ask boldly. And so this gets a little tricky, but let's look at Psalm 13, and how does David ask boldly? What does he ask for, and how does he ask for it boldly? Okay. So, okay. All right. Basically, he's calling upon God and he's saying, you know, hear me out. I want to be heard. I want you to listen to me. I would love for you to answer, but at least I'm in bad straits here. I don't want to sleep the sleep of death. I don't want my enemies to prevail and discredit your name. But he is saying, show me, enlighten my eyes. Is that a wrong prayer to pray? It's pretty bold, but is it wrong for us to say, God, show me, maybe in your time or maybe in your way, but show me, enlighten my eyes, it says. Consider my request. Please answer me. It's getting pretty bold at this point.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I'm wondering if there's room here, too. When I look at Romans 8, I think sometimes God brings us to the point where we don't even know what to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point we can take confidence in the fact that the Spirit will intercede for us.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, have you ever done that? I don't know what to pray here. I don't know what to ask. I'm not smart enough to know how I should even word this prayer. But yeah, that's exactly right, sweetie. Sometimes we just need the body of Christ to help us, bolster us through our times of pain and grief. And I think the body of Christ is wonderful in that the body of Christ can bear us up. Bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. So we're called to come alongside to help people in their time of grief. So let's be active in doing that. What's the difference between asking boldly and demanding? Asking boldly. So we're being challenged here to ask boldly. What's the difference between that and demanding from God? Okay, so do you want to elaborate a little bit?
Well, what's in your heart comes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're angry in your heart, that will come out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have love for the Lord and you are seeking wisdom and not just being bolsters, or I can't express myself, but being demanding in a voice.
Okay.
In a voice to God.
Okay.
It's how He hears you too.
All right. So Jane is kind of explaining that it's different when it comes from your heart. It's being pretty honest, saying, "I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You. You know, I'm at a standstill at the end of my rope. Help me." But demanding becomes, I want to be God in this situation, and I'm going to leave you out of it, and here's what I want you to do. Here's how it's going to be. And so it's going to be my way or the highway. No, that is not what we're challenging each of us here. We're going to ask boldly. We are going to ask, and we're going to be bold, because God is a great God. And so we have to be careful here that we don't enter into the realm of being demanding. But Don't apologize for asking boldly. Not only why is this happening, but answer me, Lord. Show me, or at least give me patience or peace to endure this.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Uh-huh. To me, Jesus gives us a really good example of that.
Okay.
And that is, when he comes to the Father and says, if it is possible, Father, may this cup be taken from me. But then he says, yet, not as I will, but as you will. So he asks boldly, but there's that submissive spirit to God's will.
Yeah, he doesn't demand, does he? And God, he even said, God could send down a myriad of angels and rescue me out of that situation, but he chose to fulfill God's purpose, and he relented from his own will and chose, which is our next step, chose God's will. But yes, that was a bold prayer, wasn't it? If it be your will, take this from me, because I know what I'm about ready to endure. But he did relent, didn't he? And so what a nice segue into our last one.
Trust.
Choose to trust. Yes, sir.
Come back to step two.
Sure.
The very evidence that I'm complaining,
uh-huh.
I'm recognizing that God is there.
Okay, yes.
God is in control.
Yes.
And so then I can ask boldly,
mm-hmm.
even not knowing for sure what I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're acknowledging that both 2 and 3, that God is powerful in this situation. God is sovereign in this situation. God can do whatever he wants. And his will is good and acceptable and perfect. And so we have to say, God, I'm calling upon you. I don't understand this. I know I'm impatient. I know that I'm fearful. But Lord, I'm looking to you and I'm waiting upon you. And so asking boldly is, give me patience, give me understanding, bring people around me that will help me endure this process, this season that I'm going through. Okay, good. Thank you, Harold.
I think, too, that the children in the wilderness didn't believe God was good.
Uh-huh.
They lost sight of God's goodness.
Okay. So here's a situation where the more we understand who God is, it kind of helps us in this process, doesn't it? Especially in this one right here. It's pretty hard to put our trust in someone else, isn't it? Sometimes we just feel like we were our own king and our own kingdom, and leave me alone, I'll get through this kind of thing. When here we have the opportunity to trust in a loving, all-wise, all-powerful God, who is in control, despite what we might think and what we're experiencing. Okay, so yeah, good comments, all of you. Thank you for that. Okay, and then finally, real quickly, how does David choose to trust? As you look through Psalm 13, how does he choose to trust? What indication do you have there that he is choosing to trust? Okay. He doesn't say, I'm leaning toward trusting you, or I think I probably should trust you, but what verb is there? I have trusted in you. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord. Those are statements of faith, statements of determination. And so... he knows, again, the end of verse 6, because he has dealt bountifully with me. He remembers times when God has dealt bountifully with him. He knows who he's dealing with here. He knows he has a relationship with a God who he can trust. Okay, let me pause here and entertain questions regarding these steps. We want to end today with some time of prayer, but I want to make sure that there's not confusion regarding complaining versus grumbling or any issues that we brought up. Psalm 13 is one of many, many psalms, songs of lament. So pick one of your favorites. Psalm 13 is one I chose this morning, but there are many wonderful psalms that go through these steps. And this is how you lament. So think of an area that plagues you, that you don't understand, that grieves you. This is the steps, helpful steps to go through. Yeah.
Can I say one thing more? I missed the last comment because I was distracted, but I like the end of the psalm because all at once, first of all, David brings out the fact that he focuses back on how God had been good to him.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also said he rejoices in his salvation. So David knows that ultimately if God didn't give him anything else.
Mm-hmm.
He had been good to him by giving him salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Really didn't deserve even that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Faith is like a muscle. You know, when God shows you he's strong, he's loving, he's gracious, then you trust him at that level. And then you have a bigger challenge, a bigger area where you need to trust him more. And because you saw his faithfulness here, now you can ratchet it up a bit and trust him here. And guess what? God's going to keep bringing areas into your life where you're called to trust him. And so he's building faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so God loves the fact that you're growing in your faith. And he's building in that. He's more than happy to help you in that. Growing, walking by faith, not by sight. Okay. I'd like to do what Luke did last week and break us up into times of prayer. And the best way to do so is with your small group. So if you could gather again as a small group. If you do not have a small group, come up here. We'll spend some time praying together, whoever you are. But gather up your small group. Here's what I'd like you to pray. Pray through Psalm 13. Pray through that. Notice the steps. We'll leave the steps up. And if you would do this time now, we'll finish our time. Next week, we'll look at Lamentations. And so if you get a chance to look at Lamentations, do so in this week. But let's end our time in prayer after your group has finished praying. You're dismissed. Thank you for all your attention. Chris, thank you. Thank you, Robin, for reading. Thank you for all your comments. And so let's end now in a time of prayer. Let's pray through Psalm 13 using these steps. Okay, let's break up now and find your small group. And if you don't have a small group, come on up here.